The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Cruise Radio.
If you're traveling with travel insurance, you're traveling smart. Get a quote today at tripinsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Doug Parker. Thanks for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. A review of Carnival Pride coming up this week. Also, Sherry's here with Cruise News. Got a chance to go to Nashville for a couple of days last week. Went and saw Smokey Robinson, who is amazing in concert at 78 years old. Charlie Daniels Band, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and some other folks were really brought on a good show last week. And then a shout out to Craig and Jenna and Jimmy for showing me too good of a time in Nashville after the concert. And then on Saturday, I ran a 15K and did decent there. And then Sunday morning, urgent care, bronchitis, been in bed since then. So luckily, I record at the house sometimes. So that's where I am right now doing the show. The doctor said to rest and quit going so much. So I'm going to do doctor's orders here and hopefully kick this crap before the next race. So with that said, let's punch Sherry Kennedy up with Cruise News. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, Doug.
So last week when you were in Fort Lauderdale for cruise, or for Sea Trade rather, Norwegian Cruise Line made a pretty big announcement of a pretty big project in Port Miami.
They sure did. They are going to build a dedicated cruise terminal at Port Miami. It's going to be all the way at the end of the existing terminal, you know, the rows and rows of terminals that they have now past the Carnival ones. It's planned to be completed by fall of 2019. That's pretty aggressive, but they want it to coincide with the timing for when the Norwegian Encore arrives into Miami. And it sort of looks like, you know, I've seen the renderings. It looks like a sort of like a giant glass beam with a roof on top. It's totally see-through. It must have acres and acres of glass in it. And it will have to accommodate ships that carry 5,000 passengers, of course. They're also putting a multi-level parking garage next to it, and it will connect directly into the new terminal. So their whole thinking is they want passengers' vacations to begin as soon as they leave their car rather than the second they get on board. So inside this new glass terminal, they're going to have palm trees, a restaurant, maybe like a cafeteria style. I'm not quite sure if it's table service. They probably don't know yet. And lounge areas so that you can wait in comfort to board the ship. So it's pretty aggressive, like I said, and we'll see if it can be done in a year, barely a year.
Yeah, I like how in Barcelona they have like a bar in the terminal. It works out pretty well.
Yeah, it just really depends. It's something new. You know, if you mm-hmm. looked at the other terminals in Miami or anywhere, there's no rest, no place to eat.
Yeah.
Europe does have a little more service. Even in Southampton, they have a small little, you know, a stand where you can get snacks and things like, and drinks. But this is a new concept for here. So I think it's wonderful.
And also while you were down there, Virgin Cruises released some more details about their upcoming ships coming in 2020. What did we find out?
Well, they're keeping their cards very close to their chest. And they didn't reveal a lot. And it was at the morning, and you want to call it sort of a press conference, so there were a lot of people in attendance. Everybody was curious to find out what's happening. And all that they said was, they reiterated, of course, that it's adults only, and you have to be 18 years old or up to get on the ship. Well, we knew that already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's sort of like they went over everything. The only new things that they said, really, where the shore excursions are going to be a little more active. Probably, I don't think they will have bus tours in cities and things like that. They're not going to have the big production numbers. Those are, and you know what, that's fading out across other cruise lines as well. So that's just going to be a thing in the past eventually. Over 80% of the staterooms will have balconies. And they're also thinking of something new, which is to return later into port in Miami at the end of the cruise. So you won't have to get up at 6 o'clock if you have a 7 a.m. Self-assist walk-off. So I think that's a great idea. They'll dock somewhere around 8 or 9 o'clock, so it's a little more civilized. You can have breakfast. And as we were talking earlier, three ships are planned, and the first one, like you said, will launch in 2020, and then the other two will be each consecutive year after that. And the only thing I can really say is, you know, with Sir Richard Branson running the show or at the helm, you know, it's going to be a really cool and innovative ship, probably a little bit quirky, or as the Brits say, a little bit cheeky. But I think it's something to really look forward to, and I am.
Yeah, I like the late arrival. I know if you're sailing on Norwegian Jim into New York City, the arrival time isn't until 10 a.m., so it's nice where you can kind of have that leisurely last morning where, you, like you said, not having to be out of your stateroom at 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I wish more ships would do that. I was on a Norwegian ship. I think we came back into Miami, and I remember having breakfast at 9:30 in the Lido, and we didn't have to be off, I think, until 10 or 10:30. I was looking. I read it twice because I didn't believe it.
I think we were on that one together. Wasn't that on the Pearl? In 2014, we had like breakfast in the back of the ship on Lido. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That was it.
Oh my! 4 years ago.
Yeah,
wow.
It was crazy. It was for the country music cruise.
Wow.
So Princess Cruises looks like they're starting to test out a program where you can pay to get on the ship earlier. Talk to us about this.
Yeah, they're starting this new program. It's very short lived, for a price of $49 per stateroom, and it's only on the Ruby Princess, and it will end on March 25th. Passengers can pay, like I said, $49, and they can board the ship early. And it is just a test program. And, you know, what they've said is depending on how well it goes, that's going to determine if it goes fleet-wide. But, you know, usually if they're testing something and they're making money, it's going to go fleet-wide.
Yeah, for sure. Was there anything else like, I know you said it's very vague, but was there anything like you get any kind of perks once you get on board, like going to your stateroom first or anything like that? Was that revealed?
You know, no, and they didn't say that. Now, also for that price, I think, and I'm pretty sure this is how I read it and understand it, you can either use that to board early or leave late. Now,
okay.
Yeah, that would be interesting, right?
Yeah.
Pay $49 and you could leave. Now, they didn't say what time. And again, it's ending on March 25th, which is just around the corner. So, you know, if it goes fleet-wide, we sure will have more details.
Remember 8 or 9 years ago in Princess, they might still do it, I don't know, where you had the option of paying, like, if you weren't sailing but somebody was sailing, you could pay, like, $75 to have lunch with them and stuff on board. Remember that?
I was just thinking of that. And
yeah.
I wanted to ask you if you remembered it. I sure do remember that. And do they still offer that?
I don't think they do, but they could. They just might not publicize it. I mean, this was, like, what, 2010 or 2009, I think they were talking about it.
Wow, that long ago.
Yeah, time's flying. Okay, well, last cruise piece here. Disney Cruise Line recently revealed some renderings of their new ships. Is it anything different from Fantasy or Dream?
It is a little bit different, and you know, it's hard to absolutely believe it's 20 years since their first ship sailed out of Port Canaveral, but it's 20 years. And if you've seen the silhouette or the just a side view of their existing ships, sort of imagine where the staterooms are above the black hull, and it sort of curves out and around in a couple blumps. So it's not like a cantilever because there's several decks that extend outward in like a rolling fashion. So I would imagine if you looked at the ship from the bow straight on, that you would see curvatures coming out above the black hull.
Okay.
Kind of interesting,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, they're going to be about 140,000 tons and accommodate about 2,500 passengers in 1,250 staterooms.
Okay. And also, Sherry, this just came in while we were talking. It looks like Norwegian Bliss has started her conveyance going up to, from the shipyard to do sea trials. So we're going to see that in the States, I believe, in early May, right, Norwegian Bliss?
Yeah, she's coming over in early May. And someone I know might be on that ship. I'm not sure who.
Okay.
But we talked about it.
Yeah.
So we'll get back.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun stuff there. Well, last but not least here, we have a question. This comes from Sue Ann from Michigan on Facebook. She says, my husband doesn't want to get a passport. He says we'll never use them again after our cruise. We're going to Bermuda, St. Martin, San Juan, and Labadee, and I don't know what I should do. Please help me.
Poor Sue Ann. Yeah, well, all I can say, Sue Ann, is whether or not you'll use your passports again, that's not really the issue. To me, the big issue is if something should happen and either you or your husband do not have a passport to fly back into the United States, it's going to be tough getting into the country without a passport. And if you choose, if he overrules and you decide not to get passports, just make sure, and I've said this 1,000 times, that you have an official birth certificate with a raised seal from the state, from the vital records department where in the city where you were born, or sometimes the state runs it, not a photocopy. And you'll also need a government-issued photo ID, which could be your driver's license. But, years ago, I used to work at the port just to learn about immigration. And time again, people would bring a birth certificate with a footprint on it, mm-hmm. literally. And they couldn't, and they would get denied boarding. So that's something else that could happen. But, Sue-Ann, here's my suggestion. Why don't you get your own passport? if your husband wants to leave home with just his birth certificate and a photo ID, let's hope that he doesn't need to fly home for an emergency, because, like I said, it's not easy to get back into the United States without a valid passport, but at least you would be able to. So that's what's important. And, getting serious, though, if you decide not to have passports, just make sure you have some travel insurance that will cover you, because, it won't supersede having a passport. But some of the travel insurance companies do have sort of a concierge type person, and they may be able to work with the government to allow you to return quicker in a dire emergency.
Yeah, sounds like Sue-Ann needs to make sure that his life insurance policy is paid up too before she goes on the cruise.
That's horrible.
Oh my gosh, I'm losing my lung here. This bronchitis is kicking my butt. All right, Sherry. Talking with Sherry Kennedy from CruiseMaven.com. Thank you, as always.
Thanks, Doug. Feel better.
Thanks.
Cruise Radio. Maintaining our global reach. Listen live at CruiseRadio.net. From its rich heritage, picturesque beaches, and unparalleled blue waters, it's no wonder over 7 million people cruise to the Caribbean every year. What do you want to do? Swim with stingrays at Stingray Bay, go for an island tour, take a beach break, or set sail on a catamaran to spend the day snorkeling. Whatever you decide, cruisingexcursions.com has a shore excursion to fit your budget. Cruising Excursions knows your time on the island is limited and that you want to make the most of your day. That's why they have shore excursions up to 60% cheaper than the cruise lines and offer smaller, more personable tours. Find out for yourself. Research and book your next shore excursion at cruisingexcursions.com.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
Have a question for the experts, or would you like to talk about your cruise or vacation experience, good or bad? Email comments at cruiseradio.net.
So John and his family just returned from a 7-night Bahamas cruise on Carnival Pride out of Baltimore. John joins us on the line. Hey, John.
Hi, Doug.
Thanks for being here. We haven't had a Carnival Pride review in a couple of years, so excited to hear about her. I think she went through dry dock, what, like in 2014?
Yes, it's been a few years ago now. It was right when they released the 2.0 upgrades.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Now, let's take a couple steps back before we get to the Carnival Pride itself. What made you want to sail this ship with the family?
The main reason is location. It's the only ship in the area. We live about 40 minutes from the port. Mm-hmm. It's a lot cheaper for us to drive to port than to hop on a plane and fly to Florida. And the other thing is we've sailed on the Pride 6 times now. So, wow. We've kind of come to feel like it's home for us.
Yeah. You've sailed 6 times. Has it been out of Baltimore every single time?
Yes, actually, the Pride was our very first cruise we ever took back in 2010. Mm-hmm. It's what got us hooked on cruising, and we've only deviated one time. We went on the Dream out of Port Canaveral, but we just love the Pride. We love the size, and the crowd is perfect. So we've done every itinerary they've offered except for the Bermuda and the Journeys cruise.
Okay, so you live 40 minutes from the pier, so you get to the pier. How was embarkation there?
It was flawless. We actually had Faster to the Fun, which we've had pretty much every cruise since they initiated that. We actually got into the port early. They let us in because it was pouring down rain all day. They didn't make anyone wait outside, which was nice. And we boarded within 15 minutes of them announcing that they were at zero count on the disembark. They were starting to board, and we were on the ship within 15 minutes of that announcement.
Oh, wow. Now, since you've been on the ship five times prior to this, what were your thoughts this go around as far as impressions?
It really feels like coming home. I mean, when you've been on a ship that many times, you're bound to see things and pick up on things that otherwise you may not. So, you know, I did notice the wear and tear. The ship was built in 2001, so it's some of the wear is very obvious. But I think some of that's because I've been on it so much. Mm-hmm. But the ship was extremely clean. The service was fantastic. The things that matter were really nice. But the ship is starting to show its age.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was that 17 years old now. Wow.
Yeah. It's hard to believe.
Yeah. Pretty wild. So what kind of stateroom did you book and what did you think of it?
We actually booked the aft extended balcony, cabin 4232. We actually had that stateroom three times in a row now. We've booked the exact same cabin and cabin number. We loved it. Nothing had changed. The view is fantastic, especially at night when the door can be propped open a little bit for the wake. And it fits my family of three perfect.
Let's talk about food on Carnival Pride. Let's start at the Lido Deck buffet area and work our way down from there.
Sure. Well, the Lido Deck is, got the 2.0 upgrade. So we have the Blue Iguana Cantina and the Guy's Burger Joint, which are my two hangouts. I would love for it to get the Pig and Anchor. I'm hoping next year and it's in dry dock, it'll get that. But we spend most of our time between those two restaurants. Then, of course, you've got your regular Lido fare and your Mongolian-type food. But like I said, most of our meals are spent there at Guy's Burgers or the Blue Iguana Cantina.
So you mentioned it doesn't have the barbecue, but in the buffet area, is there like a station that's old-fashioned barbecue?
Not that I recall. No? I mean, typically in the Lido buffet area, we only have like the Taste of the Nations. Mm-hmm. And you have your delicatessen, and you also have the pizza place. But I don't recall. And there also is a place called Chopsticks, which is just Asian food, and it's sort of like Chinese takeout. Every day the menu is different, but I don't recall any kind of barbecue offerings at all, really.
Yeah, because I was on Carnival Sunshine the other day, and I noticed that in the buffet area, they had an old-fashioned barbecue with, like, the brisket, the baked beans, the mac and cheese. So I didn't know if that was, like, a per-ship thing. It might be, it sounds like.
Yeah, we did have the barbecue spare ribs at the American table at dinner at night, but never anything on the Lido deck that I saw.
How was the main dining room?
Fantastic. We actually had a little bit of a snafu when we got on board. We always sell with my in-laws, and typically Carnival puts us at the table together without even having to ask because we've sold so much together. And this time we were actually seated at separate tables. But the maitre d' was fantastic. We went and met the maitre d' at 12:30 on embarkation day, asked to have that moved, and they placed us into anytime dining so that we could be together. The service was fantastic all week long. It was top notch, and the servers treated us like we were going to see them every night. We were really concerned that because we are typically in the early dining, we were concerned that the servers being in a rush and having so many passengers coming through that it might affect the service, but it did not affect the service whatsoever. We loved it.
What was your favorite meal in the main dining room?
That's a tough one, and I can't say that I had a bad meal. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of the American table. I prefer more options. I'm not a huge fan of the American table for that reason. I feel like it's a little short on the option side of things, but the food was fantastic. And actually, two nights on this cruise, as opposed to previous cruises where we went to dinner every night, we actually spent some time at Lido in the evenings, and the buffet up there was fantastic. They offered very similar menus, and the food was actually just as good. It really surprised me.
Does that ship have a steakhouse on it, or did you eat in there?
Yes, they do have a specialty steakhouse. It's called David's Steakhouse. It is actually located in the funnel itself. That's one really cool thing about the Spirit class ships is you actually sit for dinner in the funnel. Unfortunately, we didn't go this time. We have been two times in the past, and we did enjoy it, but this was more of a laid-back, relaxed, no-frills cruise for us. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to get dressed up.
I hear you. How was the entertainment for you?
Having seen the shows in the past, and there are three shows in the main lounge that one of them is called Getaway Island, which is a Caribbean Jimmy Buffett-style theme. The other is 88 Keys, a piano-themed show, and the other one's Heart of Soul. They are fantastic. We've seen them before. This cruise, we spent more time at the dive-in movies, which were phenomenal. There's just something about being on deck watching a movie. It's really cool. Yeah. With the popcorn and the blankets and that sort of thing. And we also went to the comedy clubs and took my son to the PG shows, which in the past I haven't been really impressed with, but I thought they were hilarious this time. And also, I must say, the music has gotten so much better over the last year with Carnival. We had a group called The Beast from the East, and we went to see them at the Red Frog Pub almost every night, and they were phenomenal. I would actually pay to go see them on land.
Wow.
They were phenomenal.
That good,
so,
huh?
Yes, absolutely. They've made great strides in the music. And actually, Safi, the cruise director, had mentioned at some point during the week that Carnival has been working on their music choices, which I was glad to hear.
Yeah.
They do have the steel drums again. The DJ at the Lido deck was really good. But that group, the Beast from the East, they were as professional as you can get. I mean, they were really good.
Awesome.
I was really impressed. And I'm pretty critical about that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was really impressed.
Hey, did your kids do the kids program at all?
No, my son is 9. He's been cruising since he was 2. And he's never been a fan. We tried it one time. He didn't care for it. He just likes to be at the pool. He's very low maintenance, so we keep him with us, and he swims and enjoys the day on Lido deck. So he did not go to the kids club.
Well, let's talk about the sea days you had as you made your way down to the Bahamas. How was it as far as crowds and congestion?
Fantastic. And that's one of the things that really keep us sailing on the Pride is the crowd ratio to space is just second to none. One of the things I've noticed on the Dream Class ships were that it seemed a lot more crowded. And while it is a much bigger ship with more to do, it's a lot more crowded. And there's a line for everything. On the Pride, you just never feel like you're in a crowded space. And so on a sea day, it's very relaxed. There's just the right amount of people. We did not have any problems at all.
Very good. Now let's talk about the ports you hit. You did Princess Keys, or Princess K, whatever it's called, Nassau and Freeport. So how was the private island?
Princess Keys was beautiful. I think, and I've read a lot of this on Facebook, that people like to compare Princess Keys to Half Moon Key. And a lot of the questions I see on Facebook are, is it the same or is it similar or as good as Half Moon Key? I think the answer to that is a very resounding no. It's not as good as Half Moon Key. Mm-hmm. The water is not as quite as clear, and the sand is not nearly as fine and pretty. However, if you don't compare that, if you've never been to Half Moon Key, Princess Keys is a phenomenal place. I would go there time and time again, and I hope to go back. But it is a much different setup and a much different island than Half Moon Key. So don't compare it.
Yeah, I'm curious because I've only been to Princess, their island, once, and I've been to Half Moon probably a dozen times. Like, what makes it so different? Because some people say the beaches are a little rockier there and to bring water shoes if you're going to Princess Keys.
That's true. One of the things about Princess Keys that a lot of people, myself included, didn't really care for is if you look at it look at some aerial footage, you'll see that there's little cutouts along the beach. Those are the areas where you can get in the water and swim. And the sand is full of crushed coral and seashells. You can walk on it. It can be a little painful. The sand is just a lot more coarse. The other thing is Half Moon Key is just a sprawling stretch of large beach. The Princess Keys is more compartmentalized. You have certain areas for sports, certain areas for swimming, and certain areas where you have like the bungalows and cabanas. Mm-hmm. That area doesn't even have access to the water. You have to actually leave that area to get in the water. So it is a lot more compartmentalized. It's smaller, but nevertheless, it's a beautiful place. Okay. Well worth a visit.
Yeah, totally. And it's a tender port too, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So you went to, also went to Nassau, Bahamas. Did you do anything there?
Yes, went to Nassau. Had a beautiful day there. The weather in February is just is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think that's our new time to cruise.
Right.
Because it was like 80 degrees, no humidity. It was perfect. We actually went into town. We did some shopping. We typically like to go to Atlantis, but this time we just took it easy. We walked through the town. We walked down to Junkanoo Beach. We haven't been to the Bahamas since 2000, or I'm sorry, to Nassau since 2010. And the last time we were there, we met a family at Junkanoo Beach who said they were working with the government to clean that beach up and make it more hospitable for cruise passengers. Well, we came back this time, there were 7 or 8 huts plus a full service restaurant there, and the service was great. The atmosphere was great. Highly recommend going to that beach for the day. It's a very easy, free way to enjoy the island.
And how about Freeport, Bahamas? What'd you do there?
Freeport, we actually took an excursion with Unexo is the company, but it is a Carnival sponsored excursion to reef snorkel at Treasure Reef. And also we got to encounter the dolphins, spent some time with the dolphins, and they actually showcased the dolphins, let us kiss the dolphins and feed the dolphins. So we sort of had a twofer. We got to swim and snorkel and enjoy the dolphins as well.
How was that dolphin swim? I was in Costa Maya a couple of weeks ago, and everyone was doing it. That's one thing I've never done. Are they very, like, what's the word, docile or very tame animals around you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They are so smart. It's incredible. You know, we actually did a dolphin kissing event with Unexo 7 years ago at the same location, and it was sort of lame compared to this. The dolphins, they jumped for us, it sang for us, it did tricks right in front of our faces. They were so up close and personal. It was fantastic. And I actually did the dolphin swim at Costa Maya as well, there at the cruise terminal. You know, compared to Costa Maya, I think the one in Freeport is much better, simply because the dolphin sanctuary is actually right off the water. It's not at a terminal or a pier, or it's not even really a public place, other than you have to take a boat to get there. So it's a really, really nice place. You feel like the dolphins are in their environment, and it was really cool.
What do you think of the value of it, as far as what you paid?
That excursion was probably one of the best priced excursions we had ever done. And we kind of stumbled upon it by accident. My wife, when we were looking for excursions, she wanted to swim with the dolphins. So we were just going to do what we did last time, which was basically go in, see the dolphins, and go back to the ship. The parade is only in port for about 6 hours on that day. So you have a very short amount of time. And she read on a review online that if you book this reef snorkel, it's half the price and you get the dolphins and the snorkel. And so we weren't expecting a whole lot. And once we got to experience it, I was very, very impressed with everything they packed into that time frame. The only thing about it, if you like to shop, the bad thing is when you get back to the terminal, we were literally like the last group of passengers back on board.
Wow.
They were pulling the gangway in as we got on. So you have no time for shopping whatsoever. That's the only downside, which really is a downside for me.
Yeah, definitely. Were you on the ship that had an evacuation?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm just curious. I've never been on a ship that has experienced this, but did the chopper actually come to the cruise ship?
Yeah. So to give you a little background, we actually had just finished dinner or breakfast on our second sea day. We were walking back to the cabin to change, and Safi, our cruise director, came on the intercom. It was the kind of announcement that goes into the cabins, so you kind of knew it was important. She said that a guest had fallen very ill and was in need of blood. And if anyone had this certain type of blood, they needed to come to the medical center to assist, which, you know, was very frightening and disconcerting. But so the first thing I did was go in. I had actually been involved in an evacuation once before on a ship, so I kind of knew the routine. So I went in. We were actually off the coast of Jacksonville when this happened and heading south. And I went in and turned the TV on to the map, the ship map. Mm-hmm. And at the time, we were still heading south, but about 30 minutes later, we were heading toward land. And that's sort of the signal that you know you're heading toward land, so there's going to be an evacuation. So we actually went up to the top deck where the funnel is to see what we could see, you know, at a safe distance. And Carnival does a phenomenal job at keeping people back in a way, but also understanding that people are curious and they give you a chance to at least be able to view what's going on. The Coast Guard helicopter actually was escorted by a airplane. The airplane sort of came out first and circled the ship a few times, and then the Coast Guard helicopter came out. As it circled, it sort of hovered over the back corner of the ship, which is the Serenity deck or Serenity area on deck 9. And then the rescue diver would fast rope down onto the deck. The rescue diver then checks the status of the patient. From what I understand, if a patient were to pass away, the Coast Guard will not take them. That's what I've been told anyway. So the diver fast ropes down, checks on the patient. Then they send down a basket, and in the basket they send up the nurse. And then they send down a stretcher, strap the patient to a stretcher, and then send that up. And then the diver goes up last. The whole thing takes about 40 minutes. It's kind of a process. It's something you never hope you're involved in, but it really is interesting to see. And one of the cool things about it, when the helicopter was leaving, they received an ovation from the passengers, cheering and hooping and hollering. And that was really cool. It kind of gave me chills to see our Coast Guard in action. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't know the status of the patient. I hope everything worked out.
That's pretty wild. Yeah, the Coast Guard station's like literally right down the street from my house here. Pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, interesting. So you make your way back to Baltimore. How was the debarkation process for you and the family?
The debarkation process is one place that I do have a bit of frustration with the Pride. I always have had this frustration. And I don't know if it's a crew issue or leadership issue on board or if it's just the way it is. But having Faster to the Fun, they sort of marshal you over to the Red Frog Pub and you're sort of in that room. You kind of feel a little trapped in there because you're sitting there for so long. What we have found, and some of the people on our Facebook page for our cruise even said, that people were just getting off when they felt like it. Wow. And of course, they make the announcements, don't come until your number is called. But I feel like the people such as Platinum and Diamond and Faster to the Fun, I feel like a lot of times they are stuck there because people aren't following the rules and just getting off when they feel like it. It's a very cumbersome and long process. And I think, I don't know what the answer is, but I think Carnival needs to work on that.
I think it has to do with the crew on the ship itself, because I recently sailed on Carnival Magic. And I was off the ship in like 12 minutes, and I sailed Carnival Vista in Miami a couple of months ago, and it was literally from the atrium to the curb in Miami, 8 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because when I sailed on the Dream a few years ago, I can remember asking our guest services for a lower number for debarkation because we had to drive home. It was a 16-hour drive, and they gave us like number 4. And the same thing happened. I remember we were off within the first hour, and it was incredible. There was no crowds around the gangway, but the Pride has seemingly always had an issue with that. I don't think I'm alone with that complaint, so I think they have some work to do there.
Well, I will say that the Pride is going to get the cruise director, Dr. E.
And I've heard that.
And he had a really great debark on Carnival Magic a few weeks ago when I was on it, so hopefully you'll be getting some good debark up there coming soon.
Yeah, I've heard of him, and I've never sailed with him, but we're looking forward to it because I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah, he was awesome. Okay, so how about, let's see, so you did debark. Let's talk about first-time tips.
Sure. First-time tips on the Pride specifically, I would say Faster to the Fun makes a world of difference, especially with the fact that Baltimore is a small terminal, and there's only 2 ships that sail out of Baltimore. And when you arrive, you've got parking on the right. That's for Royal Caribbean. Parking on the left is for the Pride. There's not a lot of excess gray area there. So if you have Faster to the Fun, they will let you line up a lot earlier than if you don't. If you don't, you will be sent away and asked to come back. And unfortunately, in the area, in the city, there's nowhere to go. So you're back on the interstate. So Faster to the Fun would be a huge first tip. And the only other tip is the sun loungers go very quickly on sea days. If you get up early and you get your lounger and you stay there, I don't believe in chair hogging, but if you get your lounger and you stay there, you'll have a fantastic day at sea. But if you come out at 10:30 or 11 looking for a seat, it's pretty crowded.
Yeah, for sure. What was your the biggest highlight for you of the cruise?
The biggest highlight would have to be for me, number one, the Coast Guard evacuation was an awesome experience to see our Coast Guard at work. That was pretty cool. But as far as the ship goes, The biggest highlight for me was visiting Princess Cay for the first time and the weather just being fantastic all week long.
Yeah, for sure. Well, in closing here, final thoughts of Carnival Pride.
The Pride is a wonderful ship. I would encourage anyone to check it out. It is a smaller ship. It's not as old as the Fantasy Class, and the Fantasy Class has a ton of followers. So if you like that smaller class, I would encourage you to try the Pride. It is it's a great terminal. It's not crowded because of the size of the ship, and it gives you a great cruising experience where you can relax and enjoy yourself, and you're not quite so you don't quite have that impression of being cattle herded from A to B.
Right.
You know, the new ships are fantastic, but the smaller Pride is just – it's just a great, great ship for the size and the amount of passengers that it carries.
Yeah. It looks like – so the Pride's last dry dock was in October of 2014, it said.
Yeah, and I've heard that they're supposed to – I mean, it's hearsay, but I've heard that they're supposed to have a dry dock next year.
They are. Every 5 years is required by maritime law.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they
Well, that will be – that'll be a great thing. You know, the Pride – I mean, I will say it needs a little attention in the cosmetic side of things. You can really tell some of the tiles have been replaced and they're discolored, different colors.
Yeah.
And there's some rust here and there. But it really does feel like we're coming home when we get on board the Pride, which is why we keep going back to it.
John, thanks for being on the show as always.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you a peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.